Oh gosh, there wasn't a countdown.
How dare you?
How dare I? Hi Andre.
Hello.
Tell us, what was you just about to say when you was a kid?
Oh, I was saying that when I was a kid, I used to play with the local people in the street. My mum used to take me to my friends.
Oh, I must explain to some people, well, Andre is actually visually impaired, so...
One of the many.
Yeah.
So, we'd go to, actually, Kensal Wright. I used to love it because I used to know. So after school, some days, if she felt like it, wasn't knackered, we'd jump on an 18 up the road. And it was kind of one of those streets that you could drive up and down, but because there was kids all over it, people just didn't bother as a rule. So I used to play with kids in the street like anybody, and I didn't know I wasn't quote-unquote normal for years and years. Yeah. I never heard the word blind mentioned around me until I was at least 6 or 7, I think. It was very strange. Now I look back, but great fun. Great, great fun.
Can I butt in there as well and say that I lived a lot of my childhood in Colombia, and for me, in that sense, my parents were always very liberal. And they allowed me to do stuff like that. I'd actually ride a bike in my local street.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd chase your friends.
You said, oh yeah. Mm. So you used to ride bikes as well?
Listen, I love riding bikes. I would bike to work if I had work to go to.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Really?
I mean, I...
Tandem is awesome.
How many times did you smash into things?
Hardly ever.
Oh. I smash into things a lot. That's because I want to go too fast, so... I was used to go to school with a new bruise going, miss, look at the bruise I've got because I knocked into this wall or something stupid. And the radios used to be strangely clear when people saw me come up my bike. I think it was a bit mental.
I can't think why.
David, we've got David Bailey in. Hi, David.
Mm, awesome.
What are you trying to do? Now, you've set up a channel in Bosnia as well.
Yeah, well, what we're going to try and do is empower visually impaired and blind and partially sighted young people initially, and then go on to younger people and look at the older part of society later on. Mm-hmm. But to give them some empowerment so that they're not marginalised by a society that really doesn't care at the moment. And unlike an uncaring British society, their uncaring society is because they're still trying to get their act together 16 years after conflict. I mean, there's a lot of hate and a lot of tension. So, you know, when you're trying to build a nation and get it right, people with blind and sight issues, that's right down the list of priorities for them. So, because they don't know any different, then, you know, they're not helping themselves, because I feel that they think it's a waste of time. So by doing this, it's giving a segment of their society that's getting a very raw deal, building some self-esteem, empowering them to do things, making them feel that they are worthwhile. It's not a shame that they can't see, or they can only see a little bit or whatever, and that there's things that they can do. And so not only can they share their own experiences, but because a lot of young people understand English and they can listen to people like Kevin, they can listen to people like Andre, and
yeah, because
the whole thing starts to grow, and they'll get different ideas.
Yeah, because you say they are marginalised, and obviously, like, listening to Andre and Kevin, you know, you both had quite fun childhoods.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, you know, you listen. Tell us that story, Kevin. Oh, can you tell people your username as well?
Yes, Kevin Satisabal. Good luck spelling that. On audio.
Could you just tell people that story about the young girl?
Yeah, I was... I'm originally from South America in Colombia. Just firstly, as I would say, I love my country to bits, and the people are amazing. But, you know, as in a lot of these places, disability is sometimes just something that people don't understand, frankly. And there is a lot of ignorance surrounding it. And there was an indigenous family who I got taken to visit when I was 8 years old, because they had a daughter who was 13 years old, but she was totally blind. And her parents didn't understand, they didn't know what to do. It was the first time, you know, they'd had a child or any in their family that had a disability. So she spent most of her life living in the basement, in the kitchen, in darkness. And she would only be taken to bathroom or fed. And her siblings were forbidden to talk to her, because obviously the older she got, the fact that she didn't have people talk to her, she couldn't respond or speak. So I remember when I got there and she heard all these noises and all these people that she didn't know, like, the poor girl panicked, you know, and she started throwing her teddies at me. And they were like, you know, try and talk to her. And I think for me, that sort of made me into perspective, and I suddenly went, I'm really lucky to have had a family that for me, really let me be free and like Andrew was saying earlier, cycle around and play with friends and they believed that letting me fall down and get up again was a big learning process. And that's why, you know, projects like David's are so important, because there's a lot of blind people in developed countries like the USA, like England, that can and have had the confidence to chase their own dreams, to be their own person. And so it's very important to try and show other people that they can be that as well, and show sighted people that blind and visually impaired people have that in them as well. They have the intelligence, they have the talent, they have the ideas.
So. And I know you've got something to say on that, Andre. I mean, because you had a great upbringing as well, didn't you? A very close family.
Oh, yeah. My mum was brilliant, that's definitely. I've always felt included in everything that my family always did. My mum would always organise trips and do things, go places. And I remember one of the funniest things, particularly, was when I was a bit older and sort of in David's unhappy age group of 16 to 18. I just left Worcester, which is a blind school, and you're not permitted to use your cane on campus anywhere around Worcester, and that made me very, very forthright, very independent. RNC expected you to use your cane around campus, including in buildings, which I think is a bloody fire hazard, and I flatly refused to do it. After the first week, I didn't do it, and people always used to say, how do you walk down the middle of the corridor without a cane and tripping over people? Because I use my ears, that's what they're for. And mobility instructors used to sort of say, well, where's your cane? It's in my room. If you'd like to get it from me, here's my key. So in the end, they just gave up. I used to just navigate like that. And it baffled the hell out of them, which is amazing because it also was a blind college.
Yes.
But they obviously didn't get many Worcesterites, people that came from Worcester, which I can see why not sometimes, going there and being so open and natural. I don't feel right using a cane in a building unless it's somewhere massive I don't know.
Yeah, or a straight.
You trip somebody up or knock someone out.
Yeah, tripping people up the stairs was always
it's always up the stairs, never
yes.
down.
Yes,
can I just say, you know, we've got these channels going, so we've got Paul Goff, that's VIP advisor.
Yeah.
We've got yours, the RLSB. David, what's yours called?
In English, it's Eye of Sound, but which doesn't really sound cool. But in their language, it's Ochi Tsuka, which means Eyes of Sound.
Okay. So how do you think, because Paul's is like, I mean, I know yours is, you're waiting to get more equipment, so we asked for that, if anyone's got any old, could you?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's got anything, it could be from laptops to Androids to iPhones, any technology that is of no use to you anymore, rather than throw it in the bin or get £5 or £10 for it, I can put it to a much better use. I'll talk to Dolores about, we have to find somewhere in England to get it delivered to, and then I'll come and pick it up, because unfortunately, to send stuff like that through the post, it will never get to me.
Oh.
The postal service will remove it.
Yeah. Okay.
People will say, that's a nice laptop.
I'm present.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
So the plan would be that I'll come and pick it up.
Okay.
And do it.
But Andre, how do you feel? Because Paul's channel is really, it's really taken off. So did you think they're a good idea?
I love them. I haven't had time to listen to a lot of the boos on the channel, but that's just because of things I've been doing, my own things, to do with audio boos still. But I think it's a really great idea. I posted one thing to the channel. Of course, I'll post more as time permits. But I think channels are great. And the thing is, because they're so widely visible on pretty much the front page of the website, people will see them more than they will people's personal boos. Mm.
David, do you expect not just VI Bosnian people to be using it? What sort of people do you want to be using your channel?
Well, my prime target audience are those people within the Balkans. And I'll say Bosnia, but we're looking at Serbia and Croatia. I mean, it's much of a muchness. But what I think, what I really want to happen is I want people to interact, the whole VI community, and maybe it will turn into an international channel. I don't know. These are very small beginnings.
Yeah.
But I think one of the great things is if we can get these young people from the region where I'm living to even to listen to the two guys that are here today, whether they respond to them or not, they'll listen, they'll take it in, and then they'll discuss it with their own with their own community, such as you can't do this. Well, this guy does it.
Yeah. And he certainly does.
Listen to Kevin.
And then
Kevin
listen to him. Or it'll be. Or
okay.
It'll be.
That's amazing. Too.
Hey, listen to what the English guy go mental. Right. And they'll listen to it. And we were just saying off mic about it. People will just go, yeah, he's right. He's got a point. And therefore, what I'm hoping is some people come on the channel and say, poor me, I can't see, and I live in a village in Bosnia, and some other person saying, will you get off your back and stand on your feet?
Yeah, well, like you Kevin.
You know?
Kevin, you travel a lot.
Yeah.
I like that, you do.
You didn't get on the underground today, though, because you was in a rush, didn't you? So you jumped in a cab.
So
but normally...
I jumped in a cab, but usually, I very rarely get a taxi, because I'm not going to pay. If I can get on a tube... And usually people are helpful. You'll have about 40 people walking past you. And usually, eventually, someone will go, or you just tag on behind somebody and they look around and go, oh, do you want any help? Yes, please, that'll be great, thank you. And, you get taken. And to be fair, there's a lot of things that are helpful. For example, in London, you've got fantastic assistance on the underground, which usually works very well. So they pick you up, they put you on the underground network, on an underground train.
Thank you, London Underground.
Thank you.
Oh, they are great. Definitely.
And they pick you up at the other end. The buses in London now talk to you, so that means they tell you what bus stop you're coming up to, so you have an idea of where you're travelling to. So that sort of opens up a lot of things. You know, the pavements are really wide, and so...
Tactile paving
again.
Also outside bank machines, even our
bank machines.
Talking, yeah. Machines. Oh, how are you finding those?
Lovely.
That sense of independence is actually second to none, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was out with a friend of mine the other day. I said, take me to particularly a Barclays cash point. Took me to a cash point, just stood back. Usually you have to get them to read all the bloody screens.
Yeah.
None of that.
And it's a trust issue.
You just plug your earphones in, don't you?
I always carry headphones with me anyway.
I don't like asking people to get cash out. If it's only people that I know for a certain particular amount of time, but I'm not going to ask anybody because you never know. They might press something.
Never anybody.
No. Yeah, no.
There's a handful of people you can trust. And if they're not always with you, which they're not, because everybody has lives, thank you very much, then you have to do it.
Yeah, you have to do it.
So thank you, Barclays.
Thank
you,
Barclays.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm a customer of this.
That's a really lovely thing
it
to
is,
say.
It is.
So, well, I'm really glad you've all come in. My boys. I think it'd be nice if we do these little updates. But, you know, if anyone's listening, well, no, we hope you are, try and look. I'm going to do a playlist and put all the channels together so, you know, people can look into them and maybe you could do some help, Kev. What were you looking for on your channel?
Yeah, so obviously we've got a channel with the RLSB, so the Royal London Society for Blind People. And they've got a lot of sports programmes and social and peer groups, particularly focusing in London, England, and the southeast of this country. So I, for example, want to post people go into these social groups, getting involved in sport. You know, what's a recording of blind football sound like? Even if I get a little mic and get involved myself, and
everybody can laugh at
how unfit I am. But you know, it's all about the fact that hey, you know. I can go to do a sport and have a good time, and it's all about, because even in this country there's a lot of blind people that feel isolated because there's a lot of families that don't know how to deal with it, or they don't want to travel that much, and there's a lot of confidence issues, or you travel for the first time and something goes wrong then you don't want to do it again. So it's all these kind of things that the charity's trying to help people with. So that's what the channel.
They can just actually go onto the page content and record into it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Get into content, post your stories, like respond to any of the stuff that we post up, and just get the conversation going, because that would be really good.
Okay. And Andre, you're helping along with Paul, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what you're into your music and thing.
Yes.
What would you be looking for?
I'd be looking for just everybody's doing what they're doing, you know, and that's good. Hopefully that not to slow down and the topics to keep on coming and changing and migrating and spanning off of one another. Because we went from sort of travel to VI parenting to technology that we didn't use, and what did we use before the internet, and domesticity, all kinds. And everybody's doing exactly what they should be doing. So everybody just needs to keep doing what they are doing.
And it's
right now.
You know, sometimes you know, you learn from other blind people.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
All the time you think, oh my god, you know, I didn't think of even trying that. Or there's a particular blind person who's like, oh, this is how you pump up a tire in a car, and I'm like, I wouldn't have even thought to do stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, look at me. I have my own example. Did I dare I say it? Pee pictures. Sorry. But, you know, but because of that, like I said, it was like I asked a question to someone, like a new friend, because I didn't know. But I'm glad that I did ask it, because I learnt so much. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get, do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming into Audio Boo Towers.
Thank you.